Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hi, this is Freddie Spencer, and I'm actually here in Rome at a motorcycle show, Moto Days, this weekend. And I'm coming to you first time this year in the first podcast after the one I did with Matt Oxley. But this one is following the Qatar test. So we got the three tests, all the preseason testing wrapped up, and I'll talk about that in a minute. But first, I want to finish up the questions that we didn't get to in the podcast, in the little talk that Matt and I had. So let's get right to it. First one is from me. What was your favorite racing number? He always liked my number 19. And also, any plans to visit COTA this year? Obviously, that circuit of the Americas in Austin. First, about the racing number. My racing number, actually, 19, comes from, it was a number after my brother who ran 18, my older brother, my only brother, Danny, who was 11 years older than me, and he raced when we were kids. I actually used 17 first, and then he used 18. And then I used 19, and how that came about is my first couple years as a professional. When I was 16 and 17, I used number 8. And actually, my first year as Superbike with American Honda, I used number 8. And then after that, I changed. And I kind of wanted to go back and maybe use 17, but didn't really want to use that or my brother's number. So that's how I came to 19, and I just liked the way it looked. And so I used number 19. Any plans to visit COTA this year? No. I was thinking maybe going to the circuit for the Grand Prix, but I can't. I have classic events over here that I'm doing. I would love to go there. I've never been there before, and I'd love to go there. Actually, my kids go to the Grand Prix, and because they live in the Houston area, and so it'd be nice someday. Next, Nia Swan, Freddie, did you slide the front on purpose, or just a byproduct of pushing so hard? Combination of things. He's talking about the front on, there's a great photo that Stan Parrick did from 1983, and it shows me pushing the front on my three-cylinder, and I always get asked the question, was that on the way down? Were you crashing? No. The three-cylinder, because of, at that time, the way the bikes were designed, the geometry, very flat, a lot of steering head rake, and just inherently the way a motorcycle works, that when you're pushing on the edge, the front end will have a tendency to tuck. I could anticipate that and use the throttle to bring it out of it. And with my rear wheel steering the way that I did, actually, it helped me make that transition from corner entry to getting the bike in position to accelerate a lot shorter amount of time. So a lot of the front end pushing, yes, I did it not only because I was pushing hard, but on purpose. Satiro Forever. Would me be able to lap a circuit within a half second off the fast time of a modern day racer on equal machinery, given that the electronics didn't do, would that help that? I'll give you a real world example. I was doing the product launch for the Fireblade last year in 2017 in January, and we were at Portimao, and I was there for 6 days, and it was so I had a chance to ride every single day, and there were some other riders there, GP guys. And we would ride together and pushing hard with the blip and throttle, not using the clutch, just being able to bang a downshift, certainly made it easier on corner entry for me to run at that pace, which I don't really anymore. And the pace, you know, a higher speed, pushing hard. The same thing with leaning on the front straightaway there with the electronics and under hard acceleration, I could run a lot higher speed. And the electronics certainly help anticipate the slide. And if you don't do it, even if you're not an older rider like myself riding against younger riders, it helps you because it compensates. Electronics, they compensate in areas when you're on the edge or they certainly help in recovery when you're doing lap after lap after lap after lap, and make the bike just a little bit easier. So you don't have to be quite as much, let's say, compared to like a 500, where just coming through a high-speed sweeper, if you just a little too much throttle, that thing would snap around. So being on top of it and anticipating that, you'd have to be right on and ahead of it. So it certainly helps. I'm not going to say it'd get me within a half second of someone, but it certainly helps in being able to run a higher pace when you don't do it anymore. So, or if you get a little bit older. Porcupine asks, Vinales or Zarco? If you ask me after the first three races in 2017, which I talked about on the podcast many times, I would have said certainly Vinales. But now, I wouldn't say that. I would have to say Zarco has stepped it up this last year, gained the experience, believes and knows he should be there. He's a past world champion in Moto2. He's going to be tough, and he's not intimidated by anybody. And he's more emotionally kind of in it week in and week out. He's more methodical. And you know, emotion is a great thing, as long as it doesn't interfere in you being able to be consistently in the game every lap, every race, even when you struggle. Because when it's going well, it's easier. But when you're struggling, you got to have that emotional kind of stability to be able to compartmentalize and to be able to just to focus on the getting the job done and everything, and knowing how to use both of it. Andrew, our POM, during the first hours of the Burham test, the Thailand test, all riders had discovered on the track. It seems many of them were given a look backwards at each corner exit during that learning period. I saw videos of Marquez, Rossi Smith doing that. Can you explain why they do that looking backwards? Well, in a situation where you're learning the racetrack, one is you look back for a couple reasons. One, it depends on your pace. If you're not running the higher pace, you're looking back, making sure you're getting out of someone's way. And I know I would do that for that reason. It's respect, and you certainly would want someone to do that for you. Another reason why, if you are quick and you do feel like you have a good line, you're kind of looking back, making sure no one is following you, and you're giving them a tow. A lot of the guys you see that certainly in Moto3 for different reasons. In Moto3, it's the guys who look back trying to get a tow because it certainly makes the bike faster. In MotoGP, it's if you're quick, you maybe don't want someone following you and picking up on what you're doing. So there's a couple of reasons, but majority of the time you see it in practice specifically, it's you're being respectful, making sure you're getting offline or you're getting out of the way. Andrei Sarnoff, I've seen reports that KTM program and premier class costs around 250 million euros for 5 years. Is that accurate? Not so sure if that's accurate, but if so, how big is that budget for MotoGP and how much for rival factories spend a year? Well, you know, I'm sure 25, 30 million euros is a common yearly budget and probably more, or it could be a little bit less, depending on how much they're having to develop a new bike or make a new bike. But it certainly is a lot of money is being spent. And the reason why is these are unique bike prototypes, one-off, and they depend on a lot of outside vendors. I know even Honda does. HRC doesn't manufacture, and Honda does all the parts for the Grand Prix bikes. Some of that is out to other vendors, and it's not cheap. Patricia Fisher-Tolman, last question here is, also is this for me, why do you think there's not much interest in MotoGP in the U.S.? It really bums them out. Is there just because it doesn't seem like there's as many fans in the U.S.? I know they used to have races, obviously, Indy Laguna besides Austin. And then the problems with the Austin tarmac. Just basically, you know, they are concerned and don't understand why American football, basketball, baseball, all the major sports are so much more popular than Grand Prix. And I've dealt with that my whole life. You know, coming from Louisiana, I'm the only person in motorcycles in the Louisiana State Hall of Fame. I've always been the outside sport. And it's always been frustrating because I know how much our sport matters here in Europe and the popularity and really just the great sport that it is, the great people involved. And and the ingenuity and the creativity of the equipment. There's so many things that make it special. But you got to understand, in the United States, the major sports are individual, and they're major athletics, and they're understood. They're played at the basic level, you know, high school level, and in high school, and the exposure and the understanding is so much greater. And unfortunately, in our sport, it's just not the case. But we know how special it is. Well, that's all the questions, and I look forward to answering more the next time. Now let's move on to, real briefly, just a little bit about each manufacturer in the improvements that I've seen in the winter testing. One, the Honda. I would have to say Mark Marquez certainly is going to be the favorite leading to the first race in a couple of weeks in Qatar. And part of the reason is not only the fact of 4 out of 5 world championships he's won in the last 5 years, but the fact that I really believe they've improved the engine performance of the Honda engine, more acceleration, and then allow the electronics to be able to control that as needed. It's, you know, with electronics, I mean, I'd be the same way. I'd want as much power as I could and then manage it with electronics and my own abilities. So I would have to say that consistent laps that he ran, he didn't run the quickest lap in the test, but he certainly had an extremely good pace in the long runs, and that's what's going to count at the end of the day on Sunday. Now, Dovi on the Ducati, I would have to say that he's going to be stronger again. He certainly picked up where he left off. It seemed like he likes some of the improvements with the 2018 bike, but I'm not sure how much it's improved yet, and we won't know until we get through Qatar, because the Qatar should be a good track for the Ducati, as it always is, but it's going to be where we'll see as we get through the first 5 or 6 races exactly where they are. But he's confident, and that's a great thing, and I think it's going to be certainly him and Mark will be the two kind of measuring sticks as we get started. You know, into the first 4 or 5 races, we'll kind of have an idea. His teammate, Jorge Lorenzo, what a great lap he put in at Sebang. But since then, he's definitely struggled. Not sure about if the 18 bike, he went back to the 17 bike to compare, and that's not a good sign for him. So we'll have to see where his head is once we get the season started. The Yamaha team, wow, you know, it's you would think that all the characteristics of the M1 seems to be struggling. Once they've went to the Michelins and then consistency they're experiencing with the grip level and the longevity of the Michelin tires, performance over an entire race distance, and just in their head, you know, they seem to be really struggling getting that figured out. And both of them, Maverick and Valentino, are struggling with that. You know, now that Valentino looks like he's going to ride, you know, a couple more years and, you know, can kind of push that aside. Maverick's already got his contract signed. Let's hope that they can get that figured out and be there on Sunday afternoons like we hope. Suzuki is very impressive what they've done. Alex Rins certainly in testing, but one lap. Let's see what happens over the length of the race. Let's hope that Inoni gets his act together and gets it going. One little thing about you know, the other Honda guys is that a good indication of the improvement they've made so far is Cal Crutchlow, Nakagami, and certain Morbidelli improved, and that bodes well for them as the season gets started. And of course, Danny's going to be right there. Everyone else, we'll have to see where KTM is and them, and we'll talk about that after the first race in Qatar, so I hope to see you then.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.